John Flood and Friends, and every Thursday we bring in our good friends from the Lawrence Business Magazine, and they always bring in their good friends that have been in the publication highlighting some great things here in Lawrence and Douglas County. So I'm going to hand it over, because she has a lot of great guests today in the studio, to Ann Frame Herzog. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for coming in again.
Our pleasure. I am here today with Mark Kern, our partner and stuff here at the Lawrence Business Magazine. And we also have Doug Stevens and Chris Earle from Stevens Real Estate. So let's just talk. In the last issue, Doug was our spotlight, our professional spotlight. In each of our issues, we always try to talk about business leaders in the community, kind of talk about their business, how business in the community, just kind of highlighting different keys in the business. And obviously, the real estate business has been the subject of a lot of attention, and always is. It's such an important part of our kind of culture and our life. So let's talk about Stevens Real Estate here with Doug. You guys have been in business for a long time.
Well, it kind of feels like a long time now, Ann. And thanks for having us on the show today. We appreciate that. Yeah, Stevens Real Estate, the history of our company, and really is kind of the history of my dad and of our family. And we actually moved to Lawrence back in 1963. Dad was not in real estate at that time. He actually was a district sales manager for the old Manor Bread Company. And even back then, it's kind of interesting, because he was based in Kansas City, but even then he didn't want to live in a big town like a lot of people today. So we actually moved to Lawrence because he was a small town guy. So that was even happening back in the early 60s. So anyway, we came to Lawrence for that. And during that time, Dad had met a man in the Breakfast Optimist Club by the name of Warren Mitchell. And many people knew Warren. Warren passed away here a few years ago, but Dad and Warren became friends, and Mitch actually talked my dad into switching careers, into coming into the real estate business.
So he was a pretty good salesman.
He was. He was. Both those guys were. My dad was tremendous, and so was Warren. They were some of the best salesmen I ever knew. But anyway, they got together, and so Dad did a career change, and they started a company back in 1970. It was the old Mitchell Agency, and 2 years after that, it became Mitchell Stevens. And then the partners split back in 78, and that's when Dad started Stevens Real Estate.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Now, so when did you join the company then?
Well, you know, I have two answers to that. The first is officially not until I got married and graduated from college, which was 83, but that's when I got licensed and started selling. I was 23 years old. But unofficially, I really feel like I've been in the industry since Dad started, back when I was in junior high. I can remember putting together real estate signs and setting up real estate signs through high school, and really working in the business for many, many years prior to actually getting licensed. But officially, I got licensed in 1983. And interestingly enough, back then, Mike McGrew and I, McGrew Real Estate, we were the two youngest guys in Lawrence selling real estate. And it was a little unusual to have people in their 20s selling. So we've been here for quite a while.
That is interesting with regards to age, because I don't really think of real estate agents being in their 20s, though. I always think of being not old, but just more mature, having, you know, it seems like sometimes it's a second career for a lot of people.
And that's true. Our industry has changed, though, through the years. And you're right. Back in those days, in the 60s, 70s, and even the early 80s, you know, the average age of those in real estate was quite a bit older. And for many, it was a second career. But we've seen that change, and we're actually seeing a lot of much younger people entering the industry, and we're really excited about that. People in their 20s and people that are earning real estate really even as a first career, some coming right out of school. So it's changed a lot. Certainly, we do have our average age of realtors nationally is probably still a little bit older than many industries, but it's a lot different.
We'll get to the age of buying houses, too, because that might be affecting that, too. But let's also get, speaking of young real estate agents, Chris, how long have you been at Stevens Real Estate?
I've been at Stevens Real Estate since 2000, and I started actually selling in 1999 in my 20s. Not so young anymore, but yeah, I was born and raised here in Lawrence. We actually left Lawrence right after I was born, moved back in 1978, and have been here ever since.
Now, did you go? So, did you want to be a real estate agent? I mean, that's what you started out doing, real estate?
Yeah, I've always worked for myself in some fashion.
Okay.
I had a landscaping company when I was a kid and through college and even a few years after that, and then got into real estate in my mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. As kind of a bridge, still working for myself, but a little bit more of a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. So family and kids do that to you, don't they?
Yeah, later. Yes, absolutely.
Well, when you're talking about just the market and stuff, the business of real estate, you guys have both seen a lot of changes. Obviously, the last few years have been kind of a roller coaster. But how has the business itself changed since, you know, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s? I mean, can you see changes by decade in it, kind of, have they kind of evolved?
Yeah, and that is something that's kind of interesting to think about, because it really reflects where we are, how we got here today, and particularly in terms of representation. Back when I got in the business, and even earlier, people probably don't remember, but real estate agents always represented the seller. And that's something that's very different today, but our multiple listing service, which is the entity that basically manages listings between real estate companies, where we share information and offer cooperation and compensation, was always geared that all realtors actually represented the seller. And that would be true even if you were working for a buyer. So say a competing agency, if I had a property listed back then, I would certainly be the listing agent and would be representing a seller. But if somebody from another agency, a competing agency, was working with a buyer, they actually were considered sub-agents of my seller and were still representing my seller. And so it made things simple in some ways, because we didn't get into these conflicts of interest, but we had one little problem with that. And basically it was that buyers didn't realize that they weren't being represented. And so y'all might remember in the 70s, we had this consumer movement that started out on the West Coast, and Ralph Nader, in his early years, had started to look at the auto industry in California. And as a result of that, all these Lemon Laws that came out about people that bought cars that weren't working right. And so he was a real advocate for consumers. Well, that started to spill over into a lot of different industries, and it spilled over into real estate as well in the 80s. And so the National Association of Realtors started taking a look, and knowing that this idea of representation was a hot button with the country, and began to interview people, first-time homebuyers, who had purchased properties across the country, and they asked them a few simple questions, and one of them was, in your transaction, were you being represented by a realtor? And the vast majority of them said, yes, we were. And the truth of it was that legally they were not. So even though in the industry we thought we knew what we were doing, obviously consumers did not, and we were doing a poor job of informing them. So as a result of that, you might imagine that this idea of consumer rights and in all different industries were changing. And so people, when they realized they weren't getting representation, wanted it. Mm-hmm. And so then we started to have buyer's agency or buyer's representation. And that happened in the late 80s and in the early 90s, and that set off a whole chain of events in our industry that we're still learning to deal with, although it's nothing new, but it has been a great benefit for consumers. Obviously, buyers can now receive the benefit of representation. They have for many years, but it's changed the way that we do business, and it's changed the way that we have to disclose things and to make sure that as a real estate agent, that very early in our relationship with a buyer or a seller, either one, that they understand the choices that they have in terms of representation, so that they can make a good informed decision as far as what they want.
Wow, that's significant. I had no idea that had changed, because I bought my first house in the 80s, so that would be maybe it changed then.
Yeah, the change probably was just beginning to change, but even back then, and you probably were being represented, or were not being represented, even though you may have thought you were.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
That's interesting.
Well, some things do change for the better then.
It is. It's been a good
thing.
At least
with the consumer, huh?
Yes.
And that way, Mark, you had something you were?
Hey, Doug, you know, looking at how with the industry change, and I'm going to start with Chris a little bit. You know, Chris, at the time that you had entered the market in 2000, and the growth spurt that we had, you know, from the early 2000s to the mid, tell me how you've seen from that time frame, how have you seen the our market evolve, change? And tell me some of the things that you know that you find that makes how you secure your customers or your clientele base, and making sure that you're providing them. What are the things that you've changed and evolved along with how the market's changed?
Well, I think probably like most industries, the computers have changed. Probably real estate more than anything. Even 2000, computers were popular, but not. I don't believe the information was nearly as available to the consumer as it is now. So now consumers do a lot of searching on their own, a lot of preliminary looking and educating themselves on the market and that sort of thing before they get to us. So sometimes they need a little direction on where to go, but most of the time, they really just need somebody when it's really time to get busy and go look at houses. That's when they really need somebody to guide them through the actual process rather than just kind of the casual looking.
I'm going to stop you. When you say, you know, looking at computers, and we all look back at the year 2000, which doesn't, you know, it's only 12 years ago, but in that short a time, how the internet has evolved from 99, 2000 to present, because, you know, and just looking at that small of a window and how things have changed and how that internet information is so accessible, not only just on your laptop and computers, but in your pockets. You know, looking at how, and one of the things too we have on here with the internet and online is the QR codes. Tell me how those have, let me know, how has that changed?
Well, I think, you know, even in 2000, I remember printing listings for folks, talk on the phone, get an idea about what they were wanting, and send a stack of 20 or 30 listings, print them off, and send them snail mail to them. And now it's much more likely that we're sending a link or even answering a call from somebody who's out front of a house and they've got their smartphone and they're clicking the QR code and everything looks like they like it and they want to know, can I go in 10 minutes? Or, you know, everything's just much more time sensitive. People used to leave messages and a 24-hour turnaround was acceptable, and anymore if you get a text or a voicemail, people tend to expect to hear back, you know, anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. But not 24 hours anymore. Mm-hmm. So everything's just much more right now.
Well, let's go. So Mark brought up this QR codes. You guys, so in your business, the Next Stevens itself, you guys, it's changed. And we said 2000. How have you changed, and what do you guys have done to incorporate technology and using the internet to your benefit as a business people and running a business? How do you use it to help you with your business?
Well, again, Ann, there's a lot of components to that, but obviously web-based marketing, like Chris and Mark have talked about, is huge. But for us, it started with, you know, just simply actually getting our industry up to date. You know, back 12 years ago, our multiple listing systems in each community were not connected. So, in other words, you might be a member of the Lawrence, Kansas Board of Realtors and the Lawrence Multiple Listing System, but we didn't have access to any of Kansas City's information or Topeka or certainly Atlanta or anywhere over the country. And so as an industry, and the National Association of Realtors really did a good job of stepping up, you know, over a decade ago and beginning to understand that obviously this is the way things are heading, that information needed to be much more available to our clients and consumers, and also between real estate companies. And so they developed some time ago, really in front of a lot of other industries, they developed the huge national website, Realtor.com, which is the largest real estate property listing website in the world. And that's been around for many, many years. And what that did was that it didn't just provide information to consumers, which was important and still does, obviously. It's probably our biggest portal for people to go find real estate information. But it also allowed us to be much more interconnected in our own industry between communities. And so it made it actually easier, for instance, for agents to expand the geographical area where they could actually list and sell properties because that information was much more available. So as a result of that, we've seen a big shift, for instance, in realtors and where they're serving. Used to be that we didn't do much business in Topeka or Kansas City or vice versa, but now we're seeing a lot of that change. In terms of market share and market statistics, you know, back when I was in when we first started, there were really only about three companies. There were three of us that did most of the business in Lawrence. There were about six companies overall, but in the early 80s, there were very few companies doing the business. And now we've got over 30 real estate companies that show market share in Lawrence, and the vast majority of those are not based in Lawrence. They're in Kansas City or Topeka, but there's still a couple of us that do the lion's share of what's going on in town. So it's made us much more interconnected, and it's also helped, you know, with our clients as well. They have a lot better access.
Thank you.
We'll continue with our good friends here with the Lawrence Business Magazine and Stevens Real Estate. This is John Flood and Friends and the Lawrence Business Magazine show every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour right here on 1320 KLWN. It is 9:26, 1320 KLWN, John Flood and Friends, and the Lawrence Business Magazine show every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm going to hand it back over to Ann Frame Herzog.
Thanks, John. We're talking about technology and how it's that changed things. You were talking about Realtor.com, how it's kind of the big search engine for real estate and how that helps consumers. What are some of the other things that, and what are other technology things that consumers can use to help them in their real estate?
Well, there are several, Ann, and as we were talking about, Realtor.com really was, you know, was kind of an industry-leading technology in terms of web-based marketing for our industry, but that's now even evolved to where, you know, local real estate companies, you can go to our website at StevensRE.com and for instance, search the entire MLS as a portal. You can get all sorts of community information and links and everything else like you would expect on a website, but we also use our site as a recruiting tool. So those that might be, for instance, you know, considering real estate as a career, we have technologies and a real estate simulator that would help assess or give people a little flavor of what the real estate industry might be like from a career aspect. But there are a lot of tools that a consumer has, in addition to just obviously just the web. Certainly one of the big ones that came out here years ago was the county's decision and the state's decision to look at valuations on for taxation purposes for residential real estate properties. So everybody knows right now, you know, you'll get the notice in the mail once a year, and everybody knows what the county thinks that the value of your home is. And I think that's probably one of the most fascinating effects in our industry was just the effect of what that county-based valuation has done for real estate values. And I've always laughed and thought it would be a great study for somebody doing their PhD, because it has absolutely affected, I believe, the whole valuation process and the way we in the real estate community even value properties. And I say that only because we know that when we list a piece of property for sale, we come out and typically perform what we call a market analysis. And that's where at my shop, at our company, we'll typically send out a group of people to come out, visit with a seller, take a tour of your property, come back, and then do some research and pull up comparables, information on properties that have sold that we think might be comparable to that property. Well, when we go back to meet with the seller to share what we found and to make recommendations and to try and set value, we know that one of the first objections we're probably going to have to overcome is if the value that we suggest they list the property at is less than what the county has it listed at, or the county thinks you're worth, then we know we've got a really big sell job to do. So that has helped buyer or sellers in particular have some idea possibly of what their value might be worth before they put a property on the market. Now, we may argue with the county appraiser's office, and we do on and off, but you know, by and large, they've done a pretty good job, and it's a monumental job to assess values. But oftentimes those values are not realistic. And so that's another piece that's really affected the market, and it's an important piece of information that most sellers have.
Do you see then, just dealing with the county appraiser's office, do you find that you see properties that they think them as higher value than you think that they're honestly worth, or less value, or how do they fall into that category? Where do they?
Well, there are statutes that control how the appraiser's offices of any county is required to assess properties. And in the early years, just in our industry, we would get a lot of calls from current and past clients that were concerned about values. And And the county appraiser's office was struggling in the early years, I think, to establish values, but they've gotten very good at it through the years. Mm-hmm. They actually will look at information on properties that have sold that are comparable. I mean, they have the definitive database because any property where we've got a deed that's exchanged has to be accompanied by a document that's called a certificate of value or a CV, where a seller or a buyer or an agent is actually making a disclosure to the county of the specific sale information on that property. So they've got the data. But yes, we have seen periodically, we'll see times where, and anecdotally in our industry or as a real estate broker, you know, there'll be times where we think that maybe they're undervaluing certain properties. There were years when I really believed that we were undervaluing a lot of our really unique and special historic properties that were more expensive or luxury homes, or that we may have been undervaluing, you know, some entry-level properties. But by and large, they do a really good job.
That's great. Now, when you're talking about the value, putting the value on it, when you go in and you're trying, when you guys go in, your team goes in to kind of evaluate, you're looking at that, you're looking at the current market, too. Does that, how has that changed then when you go into kind of the slump? Was that affecting your, you have these valuations, but you know in the market when we were in our kind of our slump over the last couple of years, that the real reality of selling that is going to be a lot more difficult.
Well, and that's probably one of the areas where we tend to disagree with maybe not just the county assessment, but also even with real estate appraisers. We tend to be on the leading edge or the front edge of the market. And so our job when we're representing a client, a seller client, for instance, is that we're obviously trying to help them get the most they can for a property. Mm-hmm. And so typically the appraisers are looking at historic data, and they're a little bit slower to catch up with what might be happening currently in the market. And so you're right. One of the technology issues we've run into is that, you know, you're only as good, your technology is only as good as the data that you have. And so because the market has been in a slump now for years, although we're coming out of it, it has been more difficult for all of us to find good current information that are good comparables for properties. It's harder than it used to be. Mm-hmm. There's still plenty that's going on. There are a lot of sales that's happening, don't get me wrong, but there are certain segments of the market that we tend to struggle with a little bit more. But even in that process, even in the valuation process, when we're doing this CMA or this comparative market or competitive market analysis, we even have more tools. And again, coming back to this technology piece, it used to be when I was first in the business, you know, everything was done manually. And so we would be going through printed books to try and figure up comparables. Well, you know, it's very easy to search for that on our MLS system. It's easy to get information from the county. So even, for instance, before we go on a market analysis, there is a lot of information that our agents can gather before we even step foot in the door. And so we're online with the Douglas County Appraiser's Office. We can get county information based on what they think the property is. So we may have some idea of what that property looks like in terms of features like bedrooms and bathrooms and square footage and everything before we even get there. Mm-hmm. And that's helped our industry a lot. And I think that's made us have better valuations as well.
Very interesting. Now, Chris, when you're talking about technology, are there any technologies that you have found that are very helpful for consumers to use?
Well, I think the internet drives almost every technology advance that we've seen in our industry, mm-hmm. Some sort of internet base. One kind of neat tool that we're using now, some of the agents and some of the consumers, it's called DocuSign, and that's a proprietary name, but it's an electronic signature where you can send a document to somebody to their email, and they can agree to do business that way and agree that they are the person that it's intended for, and they can execute it just by clicking the mouse. They can oftentimes do it from their phone, and it just cuts down on the time involved with printing and signing it and maybe scanning it back. And it's not great for everybody. Some people don't feel comfortable doing business that way. The signature comes back and it's a generic signature. Right. It does have a you know, kind of like a serial code type of a code next to it that's cataloged so that it's documented that person accessed it through their email address. So it's actually just as secure as if I were to fax you something for a signature. Mm-hmm. There's really no 100% sure way that I can know that it was you that grabbed it off the machine and you that signed it and you that sent it back. So mm-hmm. it's every bit as secure as that sort of electronic delivery. And that's something that our agents are finding can increase their productivity, as well as our consumers who are oftentimes at work and don't have time to, you know, print and sign and scan and do all that back. They can mm-hmm. oftentimes pull up on their phone and click, click, click and send it right back.
So that helps with the green technology too. You're not printing as much.
Absolutely.
And you're pulling that time savings. And I was thinking when you're saying that too, the how much has the paper, has the technology helped with, has it helped with paperwork or not? Because it seems like sometimes technology, we were talking about this on something else, it can help you in efficiency and help you do things better, but it doesn't necessarily cut down the work.
I would agree with that. I think it's kind of it's a balance. As we've seen the digital media make things less paper-centric, we've also seen the documentation requirements increase. Mm-hmm. Our files just tend to be thicker if you're dealing with short sale or foreclosure or any other sort of the new buzzwords that we deal with a lot in the industry today, those will tend to make the paper bigger. So as much as we're shrinking the paper, I think we're adding to it just as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that it's, but it would be more paper.
I guess if we didn't have
it. It's still a good thing, but I don't know that we're netting less paper necessarily because the documentation requirements mm-hmm. that the state puts in place, which are all good and help take care of the consumer and everybody involved, those have probably increased at mm-hmm. the same rate that the digital has helped us decrease.
Now, when you were talking about the technology, and you were talking about the appraisals and stuff like that, and property taxes, Mark was asking here about the property taxes. Now, they increased then or decreased, or how was the
taxes are kind of a funny thing that way. A lot of times, all of us, I've protested my tax value before, but at the end of the day, I think it's important to know that the city has a budget and they need to get to that number. And so if all of the values go down, which we have seen that happen quite a bit, there's some belt tightening that goes on down at City Hall. But at the end of the day, it still takes a certain amount of money to run the ship here. So if values were to continue to decrease, then the rate would have to go up. Now, in the past, I think it's been pretty easy. The budget has been less difficult, I'm sure, for them down there because as values were going up and the rate mm-hmm. stayed the same, they were continuing to get more and more money in the budget. And so this downturn has definitely forced a lot of belt tightening down there. So it's important that those are accurate, certainly, but we all as property owners are kind of paying our fair share. So I don't know that it's worth a lot of time and effort when we're talking about a few thousand dollars mm-hmm. on a tax valuation, because that's still pretty close.
Yeah.
If they're within 2-3%, that's a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, as you're talking about the market then too, how the market has, we've been in a slump, but you were just saying seeing things turn around. It's here, Doug. What have you seen that's been turning around?
Well, it has been a challenge. You know, we have been so spoiled in Lawrence for so many years with, you know, increasing markets and a very vibrant real estate, you know, a community and sales, and particularly one of our big industries was the new homes industry, you know, with our home builders. And so we've been seeing declining markets for about 6 or 7 years now, which is something that's really we've not experienced. We've certainly had some speed bumps through the years, and obviously those that were in the business in 81 will remember when interest rates were 16-17%, and you know, it was just a nightmare and there really wasn't anything going on, but even that 81 market only lasted for about a year and a half, and we really started to come out of it. We're perking along by 83. So it has been a very challenging time for sellers and for buyers. Obviously for our home builders, it has been a real difficult time. But we actually were excited because many probably saw the paper, and we actually are in the black a little bit this year. So we're starting to see the volume has increased. We're starting to see, we believe home prices are starting to stabilize a little bit. Anecdotally, we were joking because we're having sales. We're having multiple offers again, like we did in the old days. But the truth of it is that the good properties are always selling, and so we're seeing a phenomenon where if you want to get your home sold, you need to be kind of the leader in your little group. And so the good ones are selling, and we're actually selling properties in all price ranges, which is good too. So
it's very good.
You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine show here on 1320 KLWN, and Stevens Real Estate is highlighted this week. We'll continue with the discussion next right here on 1320 KLWN. 9:44, 1320 KLWN. John Flood and friends, every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, it's the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and Stevens Real Estate is being highlighted today once again with the Lawrence Business Magazine and Frame Herzog.
When we were talking there, you were talking about the consumer that the good houses, pretty much you can always, the ones that are, you feel like are kind of the keys in the neighborhoods, kind of the cream of the crop, those tend to move. But you also said that you're now seeing people across all areas, all price ranges, thank you, price ranges are selling. So are you seeing any differences in the consumers that you're meeting and you're dealing with?
Well, when I was talking about that, it was encouraging because we've struggled the last few years nationwide, particularly with homes in the luxury market, and the upper end homes, the bigger, larger luxury homes, have probably seen some of the most dramatic price decreases. Okay. And the demand for those has been very difficult, and we've actually seen that pick up a little bit. The other niche of the market that here in Douglas County, surprisingly, we've struggled with a little bit has been rural properties. Rural properties traditionally have been very strong for Douglas County. Everybody wants to live in the country at some point in their lives, and you know, there were times when demand really outstripped supply, but that's been a little bit of a struggle, and we're seeing those properties moving again too. We're actually seeing land sales have increased, and that's true nationally. There's been a move for investors to invest again back in farmland, and there's a lot of reasons that people do that, particularly in tough economic times. But that's been a good thing for some of our farm owners that are trying to sell acreage. So those are all really encouraging signs. And actually, the first time home buyers market, we're seeing a little bit of some inventory shortages for some of the entry level homes, which is a sign again that, you know, the demand is starting to come back. So those are good.
Yeah, inventory storage. You haven't heard that for a few years.
No, not at all. So our inventory levels actually have gotten to be very manageable the last couple of years. And so that's been another encouraging sign for Lawrence.
So this year in particular, have you seen, because last year, this kind of, everybody talks about this first quarter, and we talked in the paper that said that sales have increased. You have seen that then at Stevens. You definitely have seen the market change.
Well, we're kind of excited. We're bragging a little bit, but we're excited because actually our sales in our shop have actually greatly exceeded what we've seen the increase in Lawrence. And so we've really had a probably one of the best springs we've had for 6 or 7 years. But we're as equally excited because the entire market is actually up just a little bit. And like I said, it's been quite a few years since we've seen that. So we're all celebrating that.
That's something to celebrate.
Sellers and buyers and home builders,
yeah,
and everybody.
People, the houses moving, people selling their houses and people getting new houses. That's always, you can see smiles on everybody's faces there. And speaking of that, then, as you're talking about, you know, the consumer and stuff, and you have all this technology out there. You have people have all this information. But then you said you guys have actually had a lot of business. Why do people come to you guys? Why do they want a realtor?
Well, that's,
they need a realtor.
Yeah, good question. That's true of so many industries now. When technology is really empowered the consumers to really not have to use a lot of different industries, whether it's stockbrokers or travel agents or anyone else. But what we're seeing, Ann, is that the benefit, still the vast majority of people continue to use real estate agents and realtors to help buy and sell property. And those are studies that are done every year by the National Association of Realtors. And the reason for that is that even though consumers have been empowered with all of this information, there is still, a real benefit to being able to have the counsel of somebody who has had experience in this industry for many years. So even though I can go to the Douglas County website and get some idea of what my property might be worth, or even though I might be able to go to one of the National Valuation Services websites like a Trulia or something, we have to be very careful, because many of those sites and those valuation methods are difficult as consumers, and even for those in the industry, for us to figure out how they've come at those values. And oftentimes they are very grossly wrong. Trulia has been a good example of that, and I don't really want to bag too much on Trulia, because they provide an interesting niche in the market, and they've done very well. But their valuation methods are proprietary, and nobody's quite sure how they come up with some of the methods they use to value properties. And oftentimes we'll get phone calls from a consumer, a seller that's looked at a valuation site and thinks they have some idea of value, and it's very, very wrong. And it can be very dangerous, and oftentimes it can be wrong one way or the other. For a seller, obviously, the danger is that we've grossly undervalued the property. It can be equally as bad to grossly overvalue the property, because it won't sell either. So one of the big things that we continue to provide is obviously the knowledge and expertise we have about current local market situations. I chuckle. A lot of people may choose not to use a realtor, and that happens at times, although that number is actually declining, believe it or not, in this kind of a market, which seems counterintuitive. But what we're finding is that people are trying to save costs, but they're also experiencing a lot of frustration because they don't know how to value the property. They may be able to find a buyer, but then what do we do? So we'll get phone calls all the time. I found a buyer, but how do I do a contract? And what we're struggling with so much in the markets in recent years hasn't just been issues of oversupply or demand or jobs, but it's been the regulatory environment. It's been how difficult and complicated it's been to get a deal financed and to keep the deal together. In the real estate transaction, there really are there's more than one negotiation that goes on. We like to think as a buyer or seller that when we come together, we make an offer on a property as a buyer, and we put the contract together, sign a contract, that we're pretty much done. Well, it really isn't. I mean, the process has become much more challenging than it used to be. And so there are numerous times during the course of a transaction where the parties will come back together to renegotiate. And the biggest one would be certainly after we've had property inspections. Mm-hmm. And we encourage buyers to do that in every transaction, to have properties inspected. And so as a result of that inspection, it's pretty common that we've got a list of deficiencies that need to be addressed. And so we're renegotiating. And that can actually end a deal if we're unsuccessful in doing that. And that's something that on their own, buyers and sellers a lot of times will have difficulty doing. We'll have difficulties a lot of times with appraisal issues. If somebody is, most people are getting a loan. Obviously, we have some cash transactions, but most folks have to borrow money. And so we may struggle with issues on appraisals. And what do we do when the appraiser for the bank says that the property isn't worth what the buyer and seller think it's worth, and so the bank isn't going to lend that money? Again, that's another opportunity for a transaction to fail. There's just a numerous ones. And then probably the one that's been more recent phenomenon that we've struggled with, that realtors really play a key role in, is that even though we get through all of that, all of those challenges, it is not uncommon that right prior to closing, we'll get some kind of a last minute change from a lender, for an underwriter. Even though we've been told that we have loan approval and that everything's good, we've had many situations where an underwriter, the day of closing or right before closing, will make some kind of a requirement or a change that throws the whole transaction into chaos and oftentimes can end the transaction. So again, properties are being bought and sold, but it's a very challenging time to get the deals together and to keep them together.
It is challenging.
You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and we're going to continue with our good friends from the Lawrence Business Magazine and also from Stevens Real Estate next here on 1320 KLWN. It is 9:56 at the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN, continuing with the Lawrence Business Magazine show, highlighting Stevens Real Estate, getting some good information this morning here on KLWN. Once again, here is Ann Frame Herzog.
Well, we were talking a little bit about why you would need a realtor and an agent. And when Doug was talking here about all just the complicated, all this paperwork, trying to negotiate and all that. And then you also talked about taking a team out to help you when you're trying to just get a value on your home. Like, what kind of other what other values does this team do for the buyer or the seller?
You know, Doug mentioned all the challenges that we have in a real estate transaction, and getting not just getting the parties together, but getting it closed. And I think it's important for the consumer to have an advocate, somebody they can trust. And I think that's what we provide. We provide counsel for them to let them know when things are normal. Maybe things are abnormal, but we've got to just kind of get through it. And our experience, not only with the agents that they're dealing with, but also with our staff. We have a full service staff of a closing department, a listing coordinator, a marketing coordinator. And so we can provide a lot of support for that either seller or buyer to help them through that kind of tough process. And it's harder when you're the principal in the transaction than when you're doing the helping. But just to know that somebody's there who's been through it and had the experience, I think will help put the consumer at ease a little bit and help them reconcile on what they're willing to do and not willing to do to get to the finish line. And we've been doing this for a long time, and there are a lot of challenges out there, but we are still getting it done. We're selling more houses 2012 than we sold in 2011. And it is a process that is difficult but manageable if you have the right help.
When you're saying the right help, so really getting somebody that's an advocate so you can have pretty much a fair, open, and honest transaction, and you know that your guys are working for you as well as, you know, the seller, if you're the seller or the buyer, that you have people there that are really understand the process and making sure that you are not missing anything, that you're understanding everything, and that you're getting the best deal possible, that you're really you've explored all avenues.
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of little things that go into the transaction, and sometimes we have to know when to kind of stomp our foot and say no, that's not the way it's going to be. And sometimes we have to know that this is okay, and we're going to get to the end, and nobody's going to care about that last little $120 fix. Yeah. You know, so
with the house.
Yeah, it's hard when you're right in the middle of it. When you're a principal in the transaction, it's really hard to have perspective of kind of what's reasonable and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we kind of help provide. And we provide that at the agent level. We certainly have staff that can help us with many of the details. And then at the management level, even to take an even broader look at the situation, we provide all of those services for our agents and our clients.
That's great. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you, Doug, for being here today, and Mark, for helping us, shining a little light on real estate and how to negotiate a real estate and how it's affecting our community here. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very interesting, too. I've learned a lot.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
And where can you can pick up the Lawrence Business Magazine around town, right?
You can, and you can follow us on Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook, you can send us questions, and we love to have questions and have an open discussion about people we're going to have on the show and in our magazine.
All right. Look for Lawrence Business Magazine on Facebook. Thank you so much, Ann.
Thank you.
See you next week on the Lawrence Business Magazine show, right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.